What are you talking about? Only a fool could think such an ignorant thing. My smile fell before I could stop it, just as if the strings holding it had been cut. Nobu was looking me square in the eye. Of course, Hatsumomo sat far away, but I felt certain she was watching us. And then it occurred to me that if a geisha or a young apprentice grew teary-eyed in front of a man, wouldn't most anyone take it for infatuation? I might have responded to his harsh comment with an apology. Instead, I tried to imagine it was the chairman who had spoken to me so abruptly, and in a moment my lip was trembling. I lowered my head and made a great show of being childish. To my surprise, Nobu said, "I've hurt you, haven't I?" It wasn't difficult for me to sniff theatrically. Nobu went on looking at me for a long moment and then said, "You're a charming girl." I'm sure he intended to say something further, but at that moment, Miyagiyama came into the hall and the crowd began to roar. For a long while, Miyagiyama and the other wrestler, whose name was Saiho, swaggered around the mound, scooping up salt and tossing it into the ring, or stamping their feet as sumo wrestlers do. Every time they crouched, facing each other, they made me think of two boulders on the point of tipping over. Miyagiyama always seemed to lean forward a bit more than Seiho, who was taller and much heavier. I thought when they slammed into each other, poor Miyagiyama would certainly be driven back. I couldn't imagine anyone dragging Seiho across that ring. They took up their position 8 or 9 times without either of the men charging. Then Nobu whispered to me, "Hataki komi. He's going to use hataki komi. Just watch his eyes." I did what Nobu suggested, but all I noticed was that Miyagiyama never looked at Saiho. I don't think Saiho liked being ignored in this way, because he glowered at his opponent as ferociously as an animal. His jowls were so enormous that his head was shaped like a mountain, and from anger his face had begun to turn red. But Miyagiyama continued to act as though he scarcely noticed him. "It won't last much longer," Nobu whispered to me. And in fact, the next time they crouched on their fists, Saiho charged. To see Miyagiyama leaning forward as he did, you'd have thought he was ready to throw his weight into Saiho, but instead, he used the force of Saiho's charge to stand back up on his feet. In an instant, he swiveled out of the way like a swinging door, and his hand came down onto the back of Saiho's neck. By now, Saiho's weight was so far forward he looked like someone falling down the stairs. Miyagiyama gave him a push with all his force, and Saiho brushed right over the rope at his feet. Then, to my astonishment, this mountain of a man flew past the lip of the mound and came sprawling right into the first row of the audience. The spectators tried to scamper out of the way, but when it was over, one man stood up gasping for air because one of Saiho's shoulders had crushed him.